Pick up here, okay? Before we get into our lesson today, the first week of our study, we were introduced to 2 Peter 1, I believe it was 3 through 8. But I wanted to read some of that scripture because I think it's what our whole book is based on, is some of those verses, and I want to read a few more than we had. I'm starting at the second verse in the first chapter of 2 Peter. And Peter is writing to Christians who were threatened with people coming into the church and teaching error. So he is writing to them on what they're to stand on. And I think this has so much to do with our book, Virtue. Because this is really where that word comes from, is in this scripture. We'll just remember it from the first time. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And all things would be all things that pertain to our life, if it's all for life and godliness. Through knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. And that word I think it's New American Standard, virtue that is used on down is moral excellence. And so I can think of it that way easier than virtue, since we don't use that word anymore. By which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue or moral excellence, knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if we began with our faith, that means that we believe in Christ. And from there, we just come like we are, with nothing really added to that. And to that faith, we add virtue, our moral excellence, as the New International Version says, and then on down the list that I've just read. But we start with our faith. And you know, when we first come to know the Lord and he is truly in our heart, we want to change our life. We want to, everything that we already know is wrong or displeasing to God, we want to get that out of our life. And so the outward man usually changes right away. We stop doing certain things, we start doing other things. But then to that, we have to add knowledge to grow. And as we add knowledge, there are other things that we see are not pleasing to God. But that never stops, actually. Just keep on growing and keep on knowing. And finally, it gets to where that most of the things in a Christian's life, if they grow, are on the inside instead of the outside. Because we learn to do what we're supposed to do, but that's not always what is in our heart. So I think this study on humility shows us that we have a long way to go, because we all struggle with that. You know, even someone who might seem to not have much self-esteem and very quiet, we still deal with that humility in our heart. And it's something that's hard to define and to explain, but over the years, as I've studied, well, I think one of the best ways for me to understand it is to think about the character and the attributes of God, and to know that He is so totally different from anything that we are. You know, sometimes we do things and we think that God's mad at us because we would certainly be mad at someone else that did that to us, except that His mind is not like our mind. And so, as the Bible teaches us these attributes and His personality, we get closer to Him. And we know that He is sovereign. And when we meditate on that, and then on the power of God, we know that He is beyond anything that we could ever imagine or understand. And to me, that is humility right there. Just that very fact that you don't know what to do, but you know He does. And yet, His mind is higher than our mind, and His thoughts higher than our thoughts. Then another way to grasp the humility is to just compare it to pride. And of course, that's the original sin, and it's the sin that is still in us and that we fight every day because we are self-centered and we can't help that, you know, about what's going to happen to us or what's going to happen to the people that we love. So it's not an easy thing to just turn things over to the Lord. And one of the ways that I have trouble with humility is realizing that I don't know everything to do to fix the things in the lives of the people that I love the most. You know, we're just always looking for a way, even in the scripture. But when we find the way, we can't make them see that way. So it's humbling also. And on your handout, I've put this verse. I think these verses are really kind of at the basis of the whole thing. It's our example of true humility. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But He made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Jesus humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death on the cross. And when we obey God rather than doing what we want to do, that is one way of humbling ourselves, because it's hard to do. It's just never easy, and sometimes we fail, but He doesn't hold that against us. He helps us as we keep trying to just point a finger at the pride or the lack of humility in our life and go to Him. I think this scripture that I gave you today is kind of like a map of our faith in the Lord. But we grow from our faith. If our faith is not real, the rest of that list is impossible. And of course, the list goes on down, and the end of the list is that we love, and that the greatest commandment, of course, is that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. And that's one of the things that we do love God, but we have trouble loving our neighbor sometimes. And we can't just one day love them. It kind of goes down the line of praying for that person. The Bible's told us to pray for our enemies, to love our enemies and pray for those who despitefully use us. So that is a practice that causes us to see things in people that we can love, even when we don't like the way they behave. And of course, we always have an enemy that doesn't want us to grow, and he always attacks our mind in all kinds of ways. And there are times when we go through those emotions, but we don't admit them. We just act like that we are doing the things. And sometimes we feel entitled. or we may feel that we're offered something that is beneath us. You know, people on their job sometimes are offered jobs that they think, I'm overqualified for that job, you know. That we just have those things about us that we're really taught in a way, because everybody's worried about our self-esteem, and so we always get that what we deserve from the world, and we start to think it ourselves sometimes. So it's we can feel slighted if someone else has a better circumstance than we do, and we wonder why we don't get to have that too in our own life, that we haven't done anything to keep us from having that. Or we may feel like we're being punished for a wrong decision or a sin in our past, but we're not, because God is not like we are. On down, it's hard to have patience with God when it's hard to have faith in God when we lose our patience about Him doing something that we pray for in our life. We just start to think that He doesn't care about us, maybe. But that we know that's not true, and those kind of thoughts are coming from our enemy. And Jesus did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, even though He was God. You know, He just took what He knew was the Lord's will for Him. And He was fully God and fully man, but He relinquished all of the powers of heaven that He had and lived like a man. He did not relinquish who He was. He was God and He was divine, but He didn't lean on that to get through the things in His life. On page 52 in our book, we read that humility is not our natural tendency, and we already know that. It's very easy to look over our faults and to criticize someone else from doing basically the same thing. Zephaniah 2:3 says, "Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld His justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility." And there's a quote that I have from one of Larry Craft's book, Inside Out. No matter how much we've changed, we still have a long way to go. And as I get older, I can really see that's true. But God tells us in His Word that He who started a good work in us will complete it. And He also tells us that when we see Him face to face, we'll be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is. So we have that heavenly hope. We're just not there yet, and we're still dealing with that original sin. Jesus told us, this is on your handout, the way up is down, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So we are called to humble ourselves and not to find fault with others. And then Matthew 18:4, therefore whoever humbles himself as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And you know, believing in Christ is the only way God has provided for us to have eternal life. And God is the only one who changes our life. We are not able to do that, but He works through us and changes our life for us. If we believe, we can be transformed. And it's a free gift. We understand that we were saved by grace through faith, and it's not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. And that is humbling, the fact that we can do nothing except believe to receive our faith. We can't make ourselves good enough. And some people feel like they have to get their life straightened out, and then they will come to the Lord, except that He comes wherever we are. And when we want Him to come into our life, He lifts us up and changes our life. But that seems too easy for some people, and they just feel like that can't be enough. But again, it's humbling. 1 Peter 5:6 is on your handout. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And then I have these verses to read that are not on your handout. James 4:10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. James 4:6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 16:18, this has happened to me and probably maybe to you. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So being humble is not easy and it's not natural, but we know that it's possible because God commanded it. And he doesn't command us to do anything that he doesn't give us the power to do. We acknowledge that he is Lord and we are not. We ask him to search our hearts for hidden sin. In Psalm 51, it says that he desires truth in our innermost being. But sometimes we don't really want to know the truth. And even if someone tries to help us to reach it, we have defenses and we just can't go there because it hurts too much. And we want to blame our circumstances or someone else. And you've heard people say, that's just the way I am and I can't change. But that's not true. And well, it is true that we can't change, but it's true that he can change us. Our part is to confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. All we do is receive his forgiveness and thank him. When we submit to his authority over us, that's humility to God. And that's another thing that's hard to do, is to submit to his authority. On page 54 in your book, there's some things listed on how are we to be humble to others. Romans 12:16, I think it's on your handout. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. In our book, humility is described as being able to get along with others and having the same mind. It's not trying to show off or display our talents or abilities. It is to resist having to be right, and that's very hard for some of us. Having to express our opinion or listening to someone else. All of those things are things that most of us need to be aware of because we're usually thinking about what we're going to say next. Sometimes we don't fully listen to another person. This is on your handout. Wise people realize how far they still have to go. The foolish think they are wise already. In Titus 3:1-2, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to men. And then there's a list on page 55 if you want to look at it. I think I put most of these on your handout. It's defining humility. Humility is having a high view of God. It is obedient to the authority God has placed over us. And these are on your have blanks, so I'll go a little bit slower. It is not argumentative for the sake of arguing. It is eager to get along with others. It listens and is teachable. And that is a prayer of mine, that I will be teachable. And I know that I have so much more to learn. I've changed my mind about so many things that I believe all my life. And it's not that you totally change, but you just get more information. And you realize maybe that you were maybe you're right about it, but you were just looking at it the wrong way and applying it the wrong way to your life. Humility seeks forgiveness for sins and puts things right with others. Then the next heading that we see is God hates pride. We're familiar, most people are familiar with this these verses, Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven, are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running toward evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. And I want us to notice that a proud person and one who sows discord among his brethren, those things are listed right along with murder and evil. And there's other lists in Scripture that are the same way, that have things like gossip and, you know, things like that in the list of murderers and adulterers. It's hard to grasp that God hates a proud look right along with murder. It doesn't seem that way to us. In Proverbs 28:25, he who is proud of heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. So then how do we know that we're proud? And these are some of the things that proud people do. And we all are proud sometimes, I believe. The proud slanderers others, passing on lies. They look down on others, considering themselves to be better. They love to stir up trouble, causing quarrels. And they react to pride in others, like, who does she think she is? You know, have you ever said that or heard somebody say that? Because we become insulted, you know, sometimes for the way another person acts. A proud spirit does not receive correction. And then we're going to end with this: the humble love to hear God's praises. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. That's Psalm 34. 1 and 2. The humble gather to worship God and to rejoice, and rejoice to praise him. I just praise the Lord that I didn't cough. Thank y'all for praying, because I have a chronic cough that aggravates me all the time. But we're going to break into our small groups now.